Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jewels.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio, my brand new intro. I thought after 2 years I'd redo my intro, so there you go. I'm Jules from the slightly damp but now sunny Southern California, and I'm loving every drop of water we get from the sky. It's great because we were supposed to be having a drought, but you know what? It's otherwise, so I love it. Tonight we are really, really going to have some fun. We have three of the most wonderful ladies I personally know that are hosts on Law of Attraction Radio Network. We have Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt of Snap Out of It Women's Show, Sandy Swartz of Leading Edge Parenting, and Lisa Hayes of Relationship RX Show. And they're all on tonight, and we're talking about one thing and one thing only, and that's the Law of Attraction. You know, I always trust the universe, and for some reason, it is extremely necessary to bring these three wonderful ladies together to talk about some real nitty-gritty stuff. I am assuming, for those who are listening, that you have been asking for this. That's why we're coming together to provide you with our understanding of the Law of Attraction and what it means. I also want to mention, before I bring out the girls and have our little tea party here, I want to mention some really, really terrific things. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is now on WARL 1320 AM Talk Radio in Providence, Rhode Island, and we're reaching all the way out to Boston proper, so I'm thrilled tonight to be welcoming all the new listeners to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. It seems like every week we have a new addition to the lineup, too, and this week is no exception. Starting the first week of April, Robert Zink, host of The Secret Temple, will be coming on as a brand new show on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Now, his show is going to be relating to both the mysteries of the Law of Attraction as written by Hermes, I think I said that right, and others as it relates to the temple within. I really like that. Robert also talks about healing, Kabbalah, angels, and NLP. It's going to be a really powerful show. And it's going to air every Thursday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern. So look forward to that one. It's going to have a lot of good stuff. And, you know, girls, I have discovered, especially in these days and times, more and more people are gravitating away from all of the negative stuff in the news. Now, I know we've been telling people that, you know, get away from the mainstream media, but, you know, they've been doing this naturally, and they're craving for a brand new way of looking at things and keeping their mind happier. So that's what these programs are so vital and exciting. And I'm just tickled to have three of my favorite girls here tonight to talk about all of these things that are happening to us and what we can expect. So let me talk about Dee Dee real fast. Dee Dee's show, Snap Out of It Woman, you know, she's a professional singer, and she started this group in Texas called Snap Out of It. And it's from that that she's built her show. Hi, Dee Dee. How are you?
Jewel, I'm great. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Sandy. Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
Hi, Dee.
And she's going to tell us more about her show in just a minute. And then Sandy Swartz, I know you've all heard her with the Leading Edge Parenting. Sandy's been a friend for more than a couple of years, and she lives just a few miles away from me, and we actually met through an Abraham Hicks meetup group. Remember, Sandy?
I can't forget it, Julie.
It was
great.
Yeah,
and,
it was fun.
And I just want to tell the audience how I came to meet you. I don't even know if you know the story, but I went to an Abraham Hicks seminar, and I actually put out to the universe how I wanted to meet like-minded people. And I imagined myself meeting people at this seminar, and I walked into the room, and I just started seeing people with names, with labels of towns all around my town. And everybody who walked by me, who came from a town close by, I grabbed them and said, "You live near me. Do you want to be in a group? You live near me. Do you want to be in a group?" And I don't know how you got to the group, Julie, but somebody found you. And you,
no, I was there. I was at the
Abraham Hicks. Were you one of the people I grabbed? I didn't even know who I
was
grabbing.
I was there. And then that's when I said, yeah, I'm coming to an Abraham Hicks group.
I learned that when I put out something with no resistance, boy, it starts coming. And sometimes it comes really big and fast.
Oh,
so
I know.
That group was an example of what happened.
Oh, and was fun, too.
Was
but
great.
That's how I met Sandy, so I am thrilled. And if anybody walks the walk of Abraham Hicks, it's Sandy, because she lives by this stuff. She's a fabulous educator, and we're going to have her talk about her show in a little bit, too. And then there's Lisa Hayes, who, I never met her personally until she called me up, but evidently you were a longtime listener of the show, weren't you, Lisa?
I have listened to your show for, good grief, years, probably almost since you started it. And it's funny because I was listening to Constance Arnold's show, where she was talking about how she just felt the urge, felt moved to get in touch with you, and I kind of laughed. I was like, that must be how you've collected all your hosts. We all just felt the urge.
that's
exactly why I contacted you. I was just sitting there going, that'd be fun. Let's just see what she says. So.
Well, and Lisa is the author of a terrific book called The Relationship from Hell, about her own personal journey, which makes her an incredibly effective relationship coach and love guru. So I think, perfect show. Perfect show. It's wonderful.
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, from the very beginning, we're all having a blast, I think. So thanks for bringing us all together.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm having the time of my life. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty questions, girls, shall we?
Let's go.
All right. Here's the first one. Is it wrong to want to win the lottery?
I hope it's not wrong because my husband buys a lottery ticket every other day. But here's what I've come to believe, and that is it's not so much that I want to win the lottery, although I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to win the lottery, but it's really about what does that represent for me. Because I say to myself, when he hands me the ticket and he says, "Here, Sandy, here's the winning lottery ticket," I say to myself, what does that mean to me? And I start to let my mind imagine, what is it that I look forward to about winning the lottery? And so I let my mind go to, here's what I would do. And I get into this wonderful daydream imagining how I would feel if I had all the money at my command, never need to ask for anything more. What would I do? What would my life look like? Where would I wake up? And what would I be doing? And I'll tell you, I'm putting it out there because I want everyone to hear it. So when it happens, I'm going to come back to your program and tell everybody I got it. And pretty basically, for me, winning the lottery means that I'm going to live in a house where I can see the ocean, so I can see the sunset and sunrise over the ocean. I can smell the breeze from there. And I'm going to build an institute, a parenting institute, and I'm going to invite parents from all over our country and the world to come so that they can learn about the law of attraction and their own inner knowing and their own inner voice and their own grandeur, and that they go home and give that to their children. So when that happens for me, I don't know whether it's going to come via the lottery or it's going to come another way, but I'm letting the universe bring it to me any way I want, any way the universe wants. And every time my husband hands me a lottery ticket, I say, yes, universe, this is what I would like. And I say to everybody listening, create your own lottery winning and get into it and enjoy it. And I think we all deserve to live in the daydream of where we want our lives to go. So I say, yes, let's go for it.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Dee Dee, what about you? I mean, it just seems like it's not, I mean, it's absolutely wonderful to want to win the lottery because it brings about you dreaming of things. And so many people today can't even think about dreaming because they're so hooked into the reality.
Yeah, absolutely. As a thoughts and beliefs coach, I think that the problem is that they've cemented in their mind one way of believing. So if you can't conceive it, obviously you can't even begin to dream about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I totally agree with what Sandy says, and I think it's wonderful that she's doing that leading edge parenting because I'm coaching the people who have been brought up by the parents who don't have the correct beliefs, right? But you know what? If you're using materialism, so I would say this about the lottery, that I totally agree with what Sandy just said. But if you're using materialism as just another way to numb yourself or look away from yourself, then I think you've missed the point. I think it's exactly what Sandy says, that, you know, we are searching for a relief. Everything that we do in this life, everything that we're reaching for, we're reaching for a relief of fear, relief of stress, a relief of anger, aggression, whatever that is. And so I definitely think that we need to be dreaming and, you know, looking in a different way that we're looking. Because if we are looking in the way that we constantly see these negative things in our lives, then you know that your beliefs are in the wrong place. And so I would say that if you're not able to get out there and really dream and you're not able to expand your consciousness to even let in that you deserve it, that it can be yours, that there aren't any limits, that you want to check your beliefs. What are your core beliefs and what's going on within yourself?
Hmm. Absolutely right. Well, what about you, Lisa? What do you think about all this?
I agree with everything. I agree. The universe doesn't care specifically what we're asking for. The universe really just cares how we're vibrating about what we're asking for, what the feeling mm-hmm. is.
Right.
And so when I listened to Sandy talk about her parenting institute, I feel that excitement and that joy and that anticipation and all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the universe is going to resonate with. It's like her primary, her dominant vibration is really high and excited and all of that good stuff. But I have talked to people who are like, dude, if I don't win the lottery, you know, we're about to lose our house and I'm going to be in foreclosure and I'm afraid my husband's going to lose the job. And the only thing that's going to save me is if this lottery ticket pays off because we are just screwed.
Yeah.
The universe is going to respond to that vibration too. So it's not the lottery. I mean, the lottery is neutral. That energy about the lottery isn't good or bad. The lottery itself is just a neutral thing. It's the vibration that's backing that up that counts. So.
Good point.
I think I was listening to what you were just saying, Lisa. Yeah, because when I think about the lottery, I don't think about, oh, my God, I got to win it, because if I don't win it, then I'm never going to have my dreams come true. So, you know, I got to have it. I maybe it's because I used to hang around little kids a lot. I used to teach little children. I used to work with little children. And we come into this world not worrying about things. We come into this world embracing life and sucking life up and enjoying it and playing with it and having fun with it. And we dream when we're little bit about being President of the United States or a fireman or Superman or a princess. And until a grown-up puts their own reality check on it for us, as little children, we dream and play and know that all is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we deserve to get back to that a little bit. We spend so much time when we're grown-ups looking at our reality and looking at the doom and gloom of reality that even the joy of winning the lottery comes with doom and gloom around it. And I want to give permission to everybody listening that, yeah, our reality is our reality, but we can also dream childlike and enjoy that and trust that the universe can make that stuff actually happen for us.
Absolutely.
I think with you, the key thing is you've got so much excitement about this dream. Yeah, that's what you'd do if you win the lottery. But the universe feels that excitement. You'll get that whether you win the lottery or something else brings that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
The lottery is neutral. It's the backup, and your backup with that is really powerful and strong and loving and fabulous. So,
We want to help people go. I'm sorry, Julie. I'm just thinking that's when I work with parents, that's where I want to help them go is to those backup feelings, the backup excitement, that good stuff.
The essence of what the lottery represents to you, that's financial freedom or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the underlying emotions or essence of it. But you know what? I think winning the lottery is fantastic. I mean, just to have that desire is good as well because, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Everyone is on their own spiritual path. They might have to win the lottery in order to get to their spiritual place. I mean, really, isn't that everyone is on a spiritual journey here? Or they might have to be really broke to get to their spiritual place. But whatever it means, you know, wanting things or wanting a brand new car or wanting that food on that table or wanting that lottery, it's okay because who among us can say to another person, it's not good to want to have money? We can't say that. That might be what they're all about in order to get to their inroad, which is enjoying life. We can't say, and, you know, that's one of the things with Jo Dunning. You know, she came out and she says, yeah, it's okay. If you want to win the lottery, then believe it. Go down and release all the resistance and do it. But believe it. The core beliefs have to be there. The vibration, as Lisa is saying, has to be there. It's all good. Is there really anything that anybody does, whether they're in the law of attraction or not, is there anything that's not being done that's supposed to be done?
Well, I think the idea is to say yes to life. Yes to life. And there's so many different ways to say yes to life, and thinking that, you know, you're going to win the lottery is just another yes to life. The other day, I lost 2 pounds. I got on the scale, and I got on the scale, and I went, and the excitement was like, yes, I did, yes. And I realized that's where I want to live. I want to live in all areas of my life, saying yes, yes. Last night, we actually had 3 numbers on the lottery, and I don't think we won very much, but it didn't matter. I got so excited. I was like, yes, we have 3 numbers. It didn't really mean anything, except it felt great.
It's kind of like a piece of driftwood, you know. It's a sign that, hey, the bigger picture could be coming.
And we all deserve to say yes.
Yeah,
something feels good.
Okay, let's go to another subject because I think we answered that really well. Everybody did exceptionally well. And you know what? There's no right or wrong answer. It's whatever the listeners resonate with. That's what you grab and you hold on to because that's all important. And we're saying everything similar, but we're saying it different. But I want to go into, are we supposed to ignore the world and put our head in the sand?
here's what I think about that, Jules. You know, you can know what's going on in the world, but where you want to put your focus is on what you want, your internal picture. I mean, you're going to notice what's going on. If you notice that there's, you know, people out of jobs, you can notice that. You're going to notice that, or you'd just be living up in your head all the time, right?
Right.
But you don't have to get in it. You don't have to get in the minutiae and roll around in it and say, oh, my gosh, and just, you know, let yourself be tossed about like a wave in the ocean. What you want to do is acknowledge what's going on. But here's the thing for me. Number one, I don't listen to the news. That's been a huge, huge benefit to me. I don't listen to the news. I don't read the newspaper. My mom works for the paper. You know, I just don't go there. And my gosh, I don't have to go there because you hear people talking about bits and pieces. So it's not as if I don't have something to say to people. But, you know, I don't want to talk about that. And by the same token, I don't think I walk around with a plastic smile on my face looking like some Pollyanna either. But I do put my thoughts on what I want, and I get into the being of it right then. You know, how does it feel to be a talk show host? How does it feel to be a speaker and a singer? How does it feel to be a coach? You know, and whatever I want to go with that. And, you know, it is the funniest thing lately. I have noticed things just popping up in my life that I wouldn't necessarily notice. And I'll give you an example. In my Snap Out of It women's group, we're starting to move our second chakra because we understand that in that second chakra we have a lot of sexual creative energy, okay? Let me just say it like that. So I
sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So anyway, I wanted this music, right? I just put it out there the other night. I really wanted this music, sort of the you know, the symbol, the belly dancing type music, right? So my husband and I go to this Turkish restaurant today after church, after we were at the Unity Church today. And I loved the music. It was the exact music that I wanted. And I said to our waiter, I love this music. And he said, let me make you a copy. And he actually just went and the manager went and got me the CD and gave it to me. It was the exact music that I wanted.
Oh, my gosh.
And now, I have stuff like that happening all the time. And I just, well, and this is one of them. I wanted to do a talk show with women, with a, with four women, and here you are doing it. Actually, I wanted to be invited to be on a talk show. So you know what? It comes all the time. So I would say no. You don't want to just absolutely be. You're in the world. You're in the world. It said, what did Jesus say? Be in the world, but not of it.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, so we don't have to ignore the world. What do you think about this, Sandy?
Well, I know for myself, it's kind of like when I'm driving at night and the moon's in the sky and the moon kind of goes in and out of the clouds and I feel like it plays a game with me. Sometimes it's big and bright and sometimes it's hiding under the clouds. Well, that's how I am with the world. I kind of like peek out and see what's going on with the world, you know. I kind of check in with what's happening. Every now and then I turn on the news just for a little bit to check in. And as long as I'm feeling okay with the information, then I allow myself to get the information. When I start to realize there's something going on in the pit of my stomach or I can feel a fear rising or something that's not feeling good, I say, ta-da! And I shut it off, and I go someplace else that feels good. You know, sometimes I put on a show about jewelry, which, or I put on a show about decorating a house, or I put on a show about animals, and I just go somewhere else, or I don't even watch the television. But I kind of peek in and out of the world like that moon up there playing games. And that way I'm in the world. I know what's going on. My fellow New Yorkers would tease me that I'm living out here in California, but I'm still... I know what's going on in the world, you New Yorkers. It's just I'm not letting it run my life. And that, to me, that's the balance. That's the balance.
Right.
I want my life to be a life of joy and clarity and enjoyment. And but I still want to be a member of the world. And also, I think, ladies, for me, when I hear that something's not working well in the world, I'm now learning rather than. Someone said, get down in the dirt and feel bad about it. I use that contrast to say, okay, how do I want to see the world move? Where do I want to see it go? And I imagine the people and I imagine this planet of ours going in the place that I'm sure it's going to be going. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best contribution I can make to the world is to see it happening, to see it happening, and it's going to be here.
Yeah, that's good. What about you, Lisa?
This is a touchy subject for me.
I'm glad. Okay, let's put it out here. Put it out. Let's hear it. There is no right or wrong.
Personally, politics and so forth, I'm an economics major. I've worked on lots and lots of campaigns. Spent a lot of time on the campaign trail last year. I mean, those things have been a big part of my life. And I have thought I did a pretty good job of keeping myself, you know, looking at it but not attached to it, just per se. And as you know, we just spent, what, 10 days in Sedona where I didn't have television and I didn't even have internet, which was the first time I've been without either, but particularly the internet in years. And, wow, what a difference it makes.
How did it make a difference? What did you feel?
I am so much lighter. So my perception that I was looking at it and it wasn't really bothering me or it wasn't attaching to me or I wasn't attaching to it, I was mistaken. And I think that for me, it's a pull. I mean, it's part of, that whole thing is kind of a part of our family heritage, so to speak. So for others, they might be able to do that. I really probably can't indulge in it. So I'm going to say, at this moment in time in history, I'm really happy with my head in the sand. I mean, if something's going terribly wrong, somebody's going to tell me. I'm going to find out, but I don't need to look at it. And we came home from Sedona, and we haven't turned on the TV, and I don't incessantly check my email, and I haven't been on CNN. And it makes a difference for me. I'm significantly lighter. So I'm like, I'm totally okay being ostrich because I feel better that way.
And that's what counts. That's what counts. You know, I was, for the longest time, I said, no, we've got to get involved. You know, we've got to do these collective consciousness, which I think is extremely important. Do collective consciousness where we're focusing on love and we're sending it out to the world. That's always good. And it's great energy and everything. But I'm beginning to completely agree with Abraham Hicks. You know, ignore that stuff because I, too, get sucked in. And when I lose that vibration and that fear starts coming down, and I know everybody's feeling a little bit of that fear no matter what, I get stuck in it. So I have got to totally just shut off completely. Don't look at it. Don't understand it. And you know what? I'm focusing that there is an abundance of finances out there for everybody at all times. My having put myself away from all of the negative media and putting my head in the sand has actually brought me, I guess my vibration has risen up. So my business is going so crazy and so fast and so full, and all this money is flowing to me in all these directions. I'm going, well, maybe I'm going to have to look at the news just to slow down a bit, you know?
No,
it's all good. I love it. I love it. So I can see that for me, like Lisa is saying, my vibration will automatically go, even if I say to myself, I'm not being affected, it is affecting me. It is. So I've got to completely stay away and just know that well-being abounds. And then I heard today, just like something like this, a lady just bought a house for $4,500. That's what's happening. Isn't that wonderful? And I heard it on one of my Yahoo groups, you know. So it's like, okay, you see, everything is just perfect. I don't know what's going on out there, but I just know wonderful things are happening.
Well, I can tell you that all the restaurants here in Dallas, and we have more restaurants than per capita than any other place I take, they're full. You know, the restaurants are full. People are out spending money. I don't see lack around me. I don't.
I don't either.
Yeah, I agree.
I know for me, here in Southern California, if I look for lack, I will see it. And if I look for well-being, I will see that too.
Sure.
And so I think I'm training myself to look for the well-being. It doesn't mean that the lack's not there, and it doesn't mean that I don't know that it's there, but I'm not helping anything by getting sucked into it.
Right.
I'm not making a contribution to myself or to the world. But when I hold myself in a steady place, I think not only am I taking good care of myself, but then I have so much more to give to people who come into contact with me.
Oh, yeah, it's the ripple effect.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because it starts from us. We have got to be centered, heart-centered completely in order to have an impact on the world. I mean, to be of service. And isn't that all what it, I mean, don't you think that The Secret, which I think was a terrific movie and really brought people to begin with the law of attraction, but it also it brought people to realize that there's more. I mean, the law of attraction will bring you to eventually always to the spiritualism part, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think you have to know, you have to feel the draw that there is something bigger than you. And that will lead you down that path, and that leads you down to what are the inner workings of myself? What is my soul? What is the meaning? What is the purpose?
Right.
And, you know, for me, what's happened to me is that I believe that life is just a mirror of my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So when I am in the world or when I'm doing my life and I come across a time when I see lack or I see fear or whatever it is, I write that down and I say, what must my belief be that would be allowing me to believe, to see what I'm seeing? All it is a clue that my soul is trying to give me a clue mm-hmm. by the outer reality of that which I need to turn my focus to.
Mm. Well put. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes that's a minute-by-minute thing, an hour-by-hour thing. Sometimes I can hold that longer than others, but it's a practice. It's a daily practice. And when I do that, then I don't believe that something outside of myself is causing me the discomfort. I can say, okay, this reality is created by me. I am a co-creator. So what am I to learn? What am I doing here? What is my purpose? And my purpose is to be joyful, blissful, happy, and to shake loose these old beliefs that are causing me discomfort because, as you've said, then when I am full and when I am vibrating and I'm in joy and love and light, then that affects those around me. That raises the consciousness of mm-hmm. all.
Hmm. Great.
I don't know why. Something you just said is making me want to tell you this little story. I'm sitting here, I have a vase full of flowers that I've cut from my garden. Now, remember, we're in Southern California, and there are these beautiful flowers that are blooming. And I remember 2 winters ago, we had a very, very cold winter, and a lot of the beautiful foliage around my house died back. And there was one tree in particular that died all the way back, and I was so sad to see it go, and I wanted my husband to dig the whole thing out. I couldn't bear to see the stump, and he couldn't get the stump out. And all I could do was focus on this stump and how ugly it was and how it reminded me of the tree that died, and there was nothing we could do. He's got to get the stump out. And I was so negative, negative, negative. And he tried. He couldn't get the stump out, and he said, why don't you just trust that it's going to grow back? I said, no, it's dead. It's just dead, and I was miserable, and I bought all these pots to put around it to try not to look at it. Well, do you know, the next year, little green sprouts came up from the bottom, and I have to tell you that today, that tree is bigger than it was the spring before it actually died. And so I look at that tree all the time as a reminder that we have no idea what the universe is doing. Sometimes we have no way of even knowing the miracles that are laying dormant. And if all I focus on are the stumps and the death and the decay, I could get more and more and more of that. But when I'm, and I really wasn't even willing. I needed my husband to help me be willing. And so sometimes we need each other because we do get pulled down to the ugly and the fear.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need a soulmate or a friend to help us say, you know, there are miracles waiting to happen. And spring is a time of miracles, and I suggest everybody, wherever you live in the country, go look at a bud on a tree. They are teeny, weeny, weeny, so tiny, you could walk right past them and not notice them. But get up close and notice them, and it's the beginning of a miracle starting to happen. And I think this whole economy thing and everything that's been happening is kind of like a winter, and there's new buds waiting to, you know, to explode for us.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to share that story because that tree is always like a reminder for me.
I love it. I love it. That is great. What a great analogy here. Hey, Lisa, can we create for others? Being the relationship guru, I should say, that you are, can we create for others?
I think that this is a question that comes up in almost every show that I have hosted.
Oh.
It's how much can I use law of attraction to perfect my husband or fix my marriage, or, you know, can we get a better husband? And I think the answer to the question, there's a language thing here. We can have a tremendous amount of influence on others. And so we're all connected. And if I'm in a loving, open, happy, joyful, vibrant space, and I come to the table with that energy, then yes, that energy can impact somebody greatly, and the opposite is true also. But can I create four in somebody else's universe? I think the answer is no, probably not. I mean, even Abraham says you can't create for another. But I truly believe that, you know, if I'm keeping my vibration positive and high, and again, I'm coming from a heart-centered space, that people who are around me are going to be more likely to slip there. They're going to meet me where I am. So the answer to the question is kind of yes and no. You can't create. You know, I can't look at my oldest son and I can't create law school for him. But can I be in a place that allows him to feel successful and confident and all of that? Yeah, probably so.
That's good. What about you, Dee Dee?
No, I don't think that we can create for others because we don't know what their soul lesson is. We don't know what their soul's mission is here. You know, we could actually, you know, think that we know what's best for somebody. We have no idea. We have no idea. Now, I agree with what Lisa says that we're going to attract that whichever we are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I find it funny when, you know, I've had a couple of marriages. I married the same guy. You know what I mean? Because I was holding the same vibration. And it doesn't matter how many times you want to run, because wherever you go, there you are. You know what I'm saying? You've got to hold the vibration that you want. You've got to be the person you want to be. And you know, I've heard that forever, and I didn't understand that for the longest time.
Right.
But it's so true. You know, if you're in sort of a sick relationship, you might want to check yourself. You know, because, and that sounds a little harsh, but it's the truth. You are going to match up with the vibration that you're holding. And so if I want to create a loving, trusting, interdependent relationship, then I want to look within myself and say, am I trusting, loving? Do I have the characteristics and the qualities that allow interdependence?
Mm. Wow.
I'm going to comment to that. I mean, you said that if you're in a relationship that's sick and it's unhealthy, you might want to check yourself. I would say you must check yourself. No, I mean, you're being very subtle. You're being very polite. And I've had my share of relationships that certainly required me to do a lot of checking myself. It's not optional because that relationship is a reflection of where you are and who you are and where you're at. And so it's not the other person's problem or the other person's fault that you're in a relationship that's not working.
Yeah, what I'd usually say, Lisa, is snap out of it.
Yeah. Right. Very good.
Yeah, I've got that problem with many of my clients who come in are not familiar with the law of attraction at all. And they are coming in to get hypnotized because either their spouse wants them to change, so the spouse is bringing them in, which is always cracks me up, and then or they are totally blaming the spouse for everything that's going on and their lack of self-esteem. And I'm constantly saying, Oh, my goodness. You, they're not to blame. It's you, you, you. You must turn within. You must understand that what you're putting out, you're getting back. You're mirroring. And every single time, the relationship is actually mirroring each other. They are identical. They are having the exact emotions on the other end of the spectrum. It's so amazing that there's such a mirroring. But that's one of the biggest thing with the law of attraction, I think, starting to take responsibility for your own thoughts, for your own emotions, and then that's when the power comes to you. And so,
hey, can I ask you a question, Jules? When you first started down that path of the law of attraction and you knew that all of the responsibility was on you, didn't it sort of tick you off in the beginning?
Well, you know, the only reason I accepted the law of attraction because I realized I had to look around and I had to see that everything in my life was wrong, and that if I am the creator, I that was like my biggest aha moment with the law of attraction, because I have gone to thousands of shrinks. I've been in counseling. I went through a 20-year depression. But I got to tell you, nobody ever told me that I had the power over my emotions. Nobody ever told me that I had the option. I had the absolute choice to be happy or not. Nobody ever said that my happiness was my own responsibility. And for me, that aha moment came when the law of attraction said, hey, you can't even begin this unless you understand that you are the creator of everything in your life. So, yeah, for me it was like, oh, my God. Oh, no, look what I've done. Okay, now I'm changing it all. And so it was a very, very powerful moment for me. But I'm sure it ticked a lot of people off when they first, and it does tick a lot of my clients off when they can't blame their spouse, I've noticed.
Yeah, but if you stick with it, like you say, then you realize you have the power, and how wonderful is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, girls, I'm married 40 years to my
40?
Husband. 40? 40, yeah. We met when we were 15 years old. So
wow.
Imagine how we've grown and changed through the years. I'm 61 now, and so is my husband, and I remember when I first got married, I really believed that if he loved me, he would be who I needed him to be so that I could be happy. I mean, that was my belief system. I believed that when you loved somebody, you would do what made them happy. That's what love was. That's what I thought. And so it's been a real process for me to realize that he is not responsible for my happiness. Now, that was when I learned that, it was kind of like, what do you mean he's not responsible? I'm responsible for my happiness, you know. And but it's actually been empowering. And there have been times when I could feel that I'm annoyed, I'm disappointed, I feel down. And it's always because of his behavior until the little aha comes. What would happen if it really had nothing to do with his behavior? And it all had to do with the way I was thinking. And that if I have that power, I could change the way I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that actually it feels better to know that I'm the one in power. And just recently, there were some things that I was upset with him about. And I realized that I actually had the power to make a list of all the things about him that I admired and I adored and I appreciated and that I was grateful for. And what I realized was I didn't want to make that list. I just wanted to pout over the things that weren't going the way I wanted.
Oh.
And that was my power, whether I wanted to pout or whether I wanted to make the list of gratitude. And when I said, well, if you want to feel better, maybe you should make the list of gratitude, I can't tell you how that turned everything around.
Wow.
As I started to write that list, he started to change. Right. That amazing.
That is amazing. Everybody.
Yeah, everybody, write those lists. Get it going. Hey, Sandy, I wanted to ask you, you have got to listen to Sandy's show just for the advice that she gives parents. I mean, it's incredible. And I especially love the one with you and Bernie Siegel. Oh, my gosh, did I get so much out of that.
And, you know, Dr. Bernie's coming back again.
Oh.
He said to me when we got done, I really had fun, Sandy. Do you want me to come back? And I said, oh, my gosh. So on April 22nd, Dr. Bernie Siegel's going to be back again, and he's just the best.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure it's going to be a fabulous show. But let me ask you about kids. I want to just throw something out to you. Say that kids are afraid of the dark, and they're young kids, about 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
What advice could you give parents about their kids being afraid of the dark, and they keep on wanting to go and sleep with the mom and dad? Now, this is a normal question, but how does the law of attraction, how would that fit into it?
Well, I mean, one of the first things I would ask the parents is how much of their parenting is coming from fear?
Mm-hmm.
How much fear are they instilling in their children to get them to be good, to be cooperative, to not talk to strangers, to do well in school? I mean, I've heard parents say things to children like, you know, you better hold my hand or somebody's going to come along and snatch you away and you're never going to see me again. And many parents use fear as a way of getting their kids under control or getting their children to behave in a certain way. And parents aren't even aware of that. So the first thing I would say is that when we have children who are afraid of the dark or afraid of their dreams, that one of the things we can check into via the law of attraction is what are we filling the kids with fear, and is there a way for us to change the messages that we're giving our children that there's nothing to be afraid of? There is nothing to be afraid of. There aren't bad people out there. There aren't ghosts and goblins out there. There's just, for you, honey, there's just such wonderful stuff, and fill them with stories and movies and imaginations, and I would take them through guided imageries. We just had a whole program on the power of guided imageries, and I would take them all over where I help them see how powerful they are to take their imaginations anywhere they want to go. And one of the things I would do when I tuck my little ones in at night, because for many children, their transition into sleep is a scary time. And I tell parents, it's a scary time for a lot of us, too. When you shut those lights off and you shut the TV off or the music off and it's just you and the dark, that's when a lot of scary things come in, and that's when we need to train ourselves. And hopefully when we learn to do that, we can help our children do that. That it's also a time when we can go into the most beautiful parts of our imagination and hook up with God, the universe, our inner being, dolphins, horses, angels, any place we want to go that feels wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where I would start with children and parents, is to come from a place where our imaginations can take us anywhere we want to go, and let's take those kids to the best places.
Oh, wonderful. Isn't that great? I love it. Dee Dee, do you have any comment on that? Lisa, you're a mom.
I will say that I have an 18-year-old and I have a 15-month-old. And with the 18-year-old, obviously, we've been through it all. I used every opportunity I could to create fun, which is kind of what Sandy's saying. I mean, it's like, okay, if he's afraid of the dark, then we played with flashlights and we made little shadow puppets on the wall. And it's like, how quickly can we turn this around to the thing that feels a lot better? And children
mm-hmm.
love to play. I mean, there's always an excuse to play. And so for years and years, and even still to this day, you could interview Caleb and he'll tell you, it's like if he's got a problem or he's upset or he's angry or he's fearful, it's like, how quickly can we make this play? And he's naturally very, very good at it now. I mean, sometimes really, really good at it, sometimes annoyingly good at it. But play and fun has been our turnaround on fear and anger for a long, long time.
Oh, that's good. That's a good law of attraction approach. What about you, Dee Dee?
Well, I don't have any kiddos, but I remember being a kid, and I remember being terrified at night, so terrified that my heart would beat and I would feel like my bed was shaking.
Really?
And as I go back and look at that, there was a lot of aggression. There was a lot of chaos in my home. So I was definitely picking up on the fear. And, you know, I look back and it's a wonder I want to do anything, because my mom was one of those moms. Don't do that. You know, you're going to get hurt. And I watch her with my nieces and my nephews, her grandchildren, who are my brother's kids. And interesting enough, the other night, my niece, who lives in Oklahoma, I live here in Texas, and she's 8 years old. I get this text from her, and it says, "Aunt Dee Dee, don't go to Walmart because 3 women are going to be gang raped tonight." And because I didn't respond right away, she turned around and left me a voicemail message.
Oh, dear.
And I sent her back a text, and I said, "Thank you, honey. Love you." But, you know, it just really disturbed me. I thought, why is an 8-year-old child even thinking about this, going down this?
That came across the internet the other night.
Yeah.
I was at work, and somebody came over to me and told me, "You're not going to Walmart after work, are you, Sandy?" And I thought, how quickly fear spreads. It just spreads so quickly. And so think about when children of any age are living in a home where people are talking about these things, or even just feeling in them energetically, is there any surprise that they're afraid to go to sleep when it's dark?
Yeah, and, you know, I was speaking with a client the other day, and she was talking about her kiddos, and she was saying, "You know, I'm just so stressed out, I'm just so worried, and I'm so in fear, and I'm so this," and I said, "Why?" And her response was, "Because I want to make sure I'm on top of things and I'm a good parent." And I said, "So you can't be a good parent without stress, without worrying, without fear? Is that not possible?" And it just didn't even occur to her. And she said, "I don't know. Will I still be on top of it?" And
there are parents who, I wrote a whole article about this, who think it's their job to worry. And that if they're not worrying, then they're not doing a good job of parenting.
Right. That's how we were all raised.
I want to give everyone listening permission. To be a good parent does not mean you have to live in fear and worry. It, on the contrary, that's a negative place to be as a parent. And there are ways to keep your children safe and happy without having to go into fear and worry. And one of those things is allowing yourself and your child to feel the power of their imagination, to know that all is well and that they have angels taking care of them, or they have imaginary guardians taking care of them. You could play with that so that everybody starts to feel safer.
And isn't it true, though, if the parent, and I think Lisa was saying this earlier, if a person is feeling fear, isn't that vibration being put out to the people around you, to your kids? So naturally, they're going to pick it up, whether a word is spoken or not. They're going pick up your vibration through the energy.
Babies pick it up when they're growing inside their mom. They start to pick up
their energy.
Especially
your children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think and I won't say everybody's children. Speaking from my own experience, my children are more susceptible to what I offer up vibrationally than anyone else I come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
So it is my responsibility. It's not just an option. It's my responsibility not to be in fear, not to be in worry, not to be in anxiety. Because if I bring that to them, they pick it up. And so to be a good parent, I have to be just the opposite.
Great. And that holds true if you want to be a good friend, if you want to be a good coworker, if you want to be a good boss, if you want to be anything, to realize that any of your vibrations will be picked up by another person or in a room full of people. It's okay. You know, it's going to be. So you got to be kind of monitoring yourself real fast, because believe it or not, this has gone by so much so fast. I want to talk real fast about Cyrus. Dee Dee and I have been playing in Cyrus World. Oh, my God. And I know we're going to have a major big show about this when it's all filled. But, Dee Dee, what do you think of Cyrus World?
Well, I love it. Once I figured out how to fly, I was, you know, it was great. But do you know, it's such a cool place, because you can actually go in there, and it's this whole virtual world. Yeah. And we have Law of Attraction in there. There's so much information. But the thing that I love is that you can take your avatar, your person, and you can be whoever you want to be. So my person goes in and I get in the hot springs, or I fly above the mountains, or I go and I get in these energy orbs. Yeah. And I got to tell you, Jules, as I go along my day, I think about that a lot of the times. And so when I'm in there, you know, I actually merge with that virtual world, and I feel like I'm surrounded by this incredible energy as my avatar is in one of these orbs or in one of these many places that are wonderful. It's a beautiful place.
Oh, it's incredible. I agree with you. There is something very, very magical in this place. I know Sandy and I were attempting to get in there today. I was trying to take Sandy in. What
didn't want to work.
Yeah, she's got a Mac, but we're going to figure that one out. But what's so fascinating, she asked me, can you get addicted to this? And I'm going, oh, yeah, absolutely you can get addicted. Why shouldn't you get addicted to something that's going to make you dream, that's going to make you feel fantastic, that it's a world where you don't have to worry about money, where you can meet like-minded people and just feel all of this energy. This is where I want to be addicted to. This is absolutely fantastic. And I swear, just being in there and having, because Law of Attraction Radio Network's got this great big piece of land, and now Dee Dee's got this piece of land that she's building on. And so we've got this whole building and everything. What it does is it cements this dream into your mind. It's like a physical reality that's coming to be, but you're actually living this reality in Cyrus World. So it's manifesting things faster than you can ever imagine. I was just blown away. We built the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and guess what happened? A couple days later, I get this call out of the blue. You know, we want you to be on WARL 1320, you know, and I'm going, oh, well, this is cool, and all these other things are happening, and it's just amazing. So there's something very, very magical, and it's allowing you to dream and to live that dream. Would you agree, Dee Dee?
I would. I think it's wonderful. Like I said, you can go in there and really start to believe that you have no limits, because in Cyrus World you really don't have any limits.
Right.
You know, I can ride around on a carpet. You can do a carpet ride. You can fly. You can be in a jet ski. You can click on the lava radio. In our building, everybody's got their marquee. So you can click on, you know, I can click on Sandy's show and pull it up, pick the show I want, and I can go and swim in the ocean with the fishes while I'm listening to Sandy's show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember, can I see my sunset from there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I love the UFO station that's right above our head on the mountain. You know, you can take a flying saucer ride all around and discover all of these other buildings. Oh, it's just incredible. It's just very, very special, and you can absolutely build your dreams. I know that we're going to start having workshops there. We're going to start having collective consciousness meditations for peace for the world and bring everybody together, because we can actually get together 1,000 people at once in this, and it's just amazing. And I really think that this is the wave of the future, that we're going to be doing business through these virtual worlds, and look what it's doing. It's saving gas. It's saving, you know, it's so green, you wouldn't believe it. It's just magnificent, absolutely magnificent. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to be bringing everybody to CyrusWorld.com. If you want to go there now and check it out, you don't have to become a citizen right now. You can be a tourist, but you can learn how to fly and go to the information, and we'll teach you how to do all this and create a new body for you. By the way, I created a really great body for me.
You have a new one? A new body?
No, I've got the same one.
Oh, yeah.
That I've been flying around with, but I've been having fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's a great time. I urge everybody to go there and really experience your dreams. You know, if you really get away from the everyday world, it's going to be fun. We're going to have more on that. And Dee Dee, aren't you interviewing somebody from Cyrus World soon?
I am. I'll be interviewing Heidi. She's on her way over to Belgium. It's funny, these people that have come up with this idea live in Belgium, and they're real people, and they have a real cafe. And so we're meeting people all over the world. But, yes, she will be on my show. And she's got a great story about gaining weight, losing it, kind of, you know, all the things that we talk about, beliefs and how to turn those beliefs around. So,
yeah, and she's also said, you know, by her making this avatar for her that's absolutely in great shape actually encouraged her to go out there and even lose more weight. So that's what's so phenomenal about it. It's a great, great reality.
Yeah, everything in there is positive. Everything's in there positive.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, ladies, it looks like we're out of time. It does.
Thank you, Jules. It was so much fun.
We should do this more often, Jules.
We should.
Thank
we should.
So
well, I enjoyed it. Now, everybody go and listen to Snap Out of It Woman. Dee Dee, you're on at Tuesday mornings at
10 a.m. Central Time.
10 a.m. Central Time. Great, great show. Who's your guest coming up? Anybody?
Myself. Me, my guest. I'm going to be just hosting my show, and I'm going to be talking with my guest this week.
All righty. Okay, good. And then, Sandy, your next show is coming up?
Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, Pamela McQuaid. She's a spirit coach. She's going to talk about how to help parents get in touch with their spirits, their angels, their relationship with just the universe. So so come on, and we'll talk about how to help your children.
Oh, how fantastic.
Find spirit, yeah.
Okay, and Lisa, what's your next show?
Her name is Kathleen Johnson, and she's from LOA Relationship Rescue, and she really gets into that sticky question about how much we can influence another using law of attraction. I think her perspective is genius, actually. So,
wow, that sounds wonderful. And yours is on Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, is that correct?
Thursdays at 12 noon Pacific.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Thursday, I stand corrected. We've got so many shows on, I keep on forgetting, okay? But Lisa has a dynamite show, and really, if you're having, and we all are having problems with relationships right now, that's the place where you want to go. Go see Lisa's show. Girls, it was fantastic. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. And listeners, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at lawofattracttalkradio.com or lawofattractiontools.com.